Good morning, everyone. We will be back in Judges chapter 7 today. We'll continue looking at Gideon and some of the things that he faced and how the Lord built courage in his life. So far, we've seen when we first see Gideon, he's hiding, and we see that the people there in Israel are they're basically paralyzed in their fear. They're scared to do anything because of the Midianites in the land. And we saw the first thing that God had Gideon deal with was the sin that was there in the nation. And, made it clear that what they were doing was wrong in worshiping those idols. And we see how Gideon responded in the right way there. And by getting that sin out of his life, then the courage started to show up where they could take the steps, and to the point where he called an army together. And they came and they followed, and the courage there was so strong that God dwindled it down to an army of 300 men. And they were still, those 300 men and Gideon were willing to still go to battle against those 135,000 Midianites. So you see, one of the things where the first steps there is getting sin out of our lives. And then we start trusting the Lord, and we can get to some places where, we can trust him in the hardest times. And, when we walk in that faith rather than fear, God's going to take care of us in those situations. Because you look at the situation they're in now, there's 300 men going up against 135,000. And they're basing their success on faith. And, we're going to face a lot of battles, and we're always going to have needs. But one thing we need to remember, that those challenges that come to our way, nothing ever poses a challenge to God. He has what we need to get through every situation. He has all the strength and resources that we need. And I believe those 300 men that were with Gideon there, they knew that. And that's what they were trusting in. And, we don't have to persuade God to help us. He wants to be there for us. He wants to help us. And he's always ready to provide for those that are willing to trust him. And you think, that's the situation now where the Israelites were. They were at a point where they needed to trust the Lord, but they needed him to provide what they needed to get the victory here. And, sometimes we're focused on what's right in front of us. You think, what were those men thinking about? They're thinking about, they're looking across and they see 135,000 soldiers. They're trusting the Lord, but, there's probably a lot of things going through their mind at this time. And, we get focused on what we can see, but we need to remember that God sees the bigger picture. And a lot of times, or all the time, really, he's working in ways that we have no idea. Things that have nothing to do with what we can see. And I want to read some verses this morning, starting in Judges chapter 7, starting in verse 9. And we'll read down through verse 15 right now. It says, "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it unto thine hand. But if thou fear to go thou with Phurah thy servant down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the river like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the sea side for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the hosts. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hands the host of Midian. We see in these verses where God wants to give Gideon some encouragement. So he tells him, even this time, I'm sure Gideon has some sort of fear. And God tells him, if you want some encouragement, take your servant with you. So he goes, God tells him to go down to the edge of the Midianite army and basically spy on them there. And he hears some of the men talking. He talks about a dream that he had, which when you read it, doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense. It talks about a roll of bread rolling down the hill and taking out the tents. But God had been working in that. So one of the other men gave an interpretation that basically said that they understood that God was going to give them into the hands of Gideon. So, although you think about what Gideon was facing with those 300 men, God had already started working in that camp with the Midianites where they were already starting to fear. God, Gideon wouldn't have known anything about this when this was all starting. And but God let him see that he was already working in that situation and already working out a way for them to get through this. So what we see here, though, is now Gideon's in a situation where he needs God to provide an answer. And really the first thing we see that God provides for him is wisdom. So again here, Gideon was hopelessly outnumbered. There, I think we finally determined it was 450-1. So, God was going to give him a plan that would overcome the Midianites, despite how much they were outnumbered there. And we need to remember that God's wisdom is always better than our wisdom. We see in Isaiah 55:8, it says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. That verse kind of really hits home when you think about it there, that when you say God's ways are not my ways, and when you think through that. And that's a good thing, because how many of you ever get to a situation where you don't know what to do? Maybe something comes up and what am I supposed to do? Well, God never wonders what to do next. And that's something that we can always trust in. And that's why it's important to trust his ways. We need his wisdom to get through these situations. Don't forget the situation that Gideon's in right now. It's 300 men against 135,000. So we need to trust God's wisdom. When we try to do things in our own way, we come through our own self-confidence, that's usually going to lead to disaster, and it's usually a recipe for failure. Think about, what would you do if you were in Gideon's situation? What would be your plan? You think, if you're outnumbered 450-1, that means every one of your guys has got to take out 450 people. that's not something, what would you do? Maybe start, okay, we're going to have to do a guerrilla warfare here. We're not going to meet them head on. We're going to have to start hiding behind trees and picking them off one by one. I guess maybe they had arrows back then. But we would have to come up with some kind of plan like that. But God's plan was nothing like that. And so, we need to go to God and ask him for wisdom. And God gave Gideon wisdom. We see in James 1, verse 5, it says, If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So the Bible tells there that, he wants us to come and ask for wisdom. But in the verses that follow that, we also see we need to ask in faith, not wavering there. If we do seek wisdom in faith that's not wavering, he's going to give us all the wisdom that we need. It says there he's going to give it to us liberally, and he's not going to chide us for asking for it. He's going to give us what we need if we go to him trusting the answer that he's going to give us. So here's the plan. Gideon's army of 300 men, they were supposed to go in the night. The enemy would be sleeping, and the Bible describes it as the beginning of the middle watch, which would have been a little after midnight. So in Judges chapter 7, let's read verse 19 there. It says, so Gideon and the hundred men that were with him, now we know that he divided them up into three groups. So the hundred that would have been with Gideon came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. So there they were going to make a lot of noise. They were going to see all these lights. And all this would have created a lot of confusion there in the Midianite army. And got this plan caused them to think that Gideon's army was much larger than it was. You know, think about the situation there. It's in the middle of the night. Have you ever been woken up in the middle of the night suddenly? Are you the most alert person in the world when that happens? You know, sometimes we wake up and we're surprised. But remember, God had been building fear in the lives of these men. So they probably weren't sleeping well, to be honest, because they were worried about what was going to happen. And now, all of a sudden, they see these lights and these loud noises, and we see that God's plan here is going into action. But you know, let's specifically see how it played out. Let's go back and see how we got to this point by going back to verse 16 in Judges chapter 7. It says, or Judges 7 verse 16, it says, and he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, and I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon was going to tell his men there, do what I do. We see that in verse 17. It says, look on me and do likewise. And then later in the verse, as I do, so shall ye do. Gideon was able to tell them that because he was doing what God had told him to do. He was relaying the message that was from God. It wasn't his own wisdom. He was telling them to follow him because he was going to do what God had said to do. So, you know, anyone who's in a position of influence, whether it's a parent or a boss or a pastor, whoever, if you have anybody under you, you've got to realize that they're going to be watching you. And it's our responsibility, really, in any part of our life, to be the right kind of example for others to follow. And that starts with doing what God wants us to do. And you know, Gideon was in this position because he was being obedient to the Lord. You know, we're not always aware when people are watching us. You know, they're going to be seeing how you respond in different situations. When things get tough, how do you respond? People are going to be watching you. We don't always see that. And the pattern of behavior that we set with our lives, it's going to influence those around us, you know, whether we realize it or not. People are going to listen to our actions. It's not just saying the right thing. It's, are we doing the right thing? And like we've looked at before, you know, our actions speak louder than our words. Are we going to take those steps of courage that we need to do the right thing? People are going to be watching, and people were watching Gideon here to see what they were supposed to do. And you think back in your lives, are there people in your life throughout your Christian life that you've looked to that have been an encouragement to you by the life they've lived? Whether it's preachers or people that you know have just been so faithful to the Lord and how they've lived. You know, think about the impact that they've had on your life. And you know, one thing we need to consider is, you know, if others are following you, where are you leading them to? You know, look inwardly and inspect your own life. Hopefully the example is that we're leading them closer to the Lord. That should be the example that we're showing in our lives. And we need to work to make sure that we are doing that. So here are the things that we see that how God's providing them wisdom. First of all, through Gideon and his example, we also see here that the men there were standing strong where God put them. So in Judges, we're again still chapter 7, verses 20 and 21. It says, "And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow it all. And they cried, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.' And they stood, every man in his place, round about the camp, and all the hosts ran and cried and fled." So, you know, think about the plan here. I mean, these men are on a hill overlooking these soldiers, and the first thing Gideon tells them to do is, "We're going to wake them up." You know, what would be your response to that? You know, would you have said, "Nah, I'm not going to do this. I'm just getting out of here"? That's why God chose these men. Those other men that had left and gone home, they probably would have turned around and taken off in this situation. If you're there, you're standing over this army and you're saying, we're going to wake them up. Those that with fear would have been gone. But, you know, these were the men that we know that God had chosen because they saw the danger. They knew that it wasn't safe to go here, but they trusted the Lord and were willing to go forward because of their faith. And just think about the courage and the faith that it took to stand there and do this. You know, we all know this story. We've learned it all the way from Sunday school. But you know, when you really think about it, you're 300 men standing on the top of a hill looking at this multitude. The Bible says they look like grasshoppers. There's so many. And, you know, they're sleeping right now where you feel somewhat safe. But you're going to wake them up with this loud noise. And, you know, just some of the ways God used this. Think about in a normal army, would every soldier have a trumpet? No, that's not a normal thing. People that study this think that usually whoever was a general commanding a group of men that had the trumpet, usually that would represent about 500 men. So, you know, you think about 300 men, all with trumpets, each one, you know, in theory would represent 500 men. So that when they hear those trumpets, that would be the equivalent of an army of 150,000 people when they heard that. And remember, God's already started putting fear in their hearts. And, you know, that would affect the way that they would respond to that. So, you know, think about how differently it would have gone if those other men had been there that would have began to flee. You know, it's one thing to see in unison those men blowing the trumpets, but what if all of a sudden some of them just started to run away? You know, that would have destroyed the whole plan if you see ones running in fear and not following through on the plan. They would have been like, "Wait a minute, they're not really." They would have seen the disguise there, but those men stood firm. It tells us in there that they stood every man in his place. These were men that were trusting the Lord, and they were willing to stand there and go ahead when the signal was given. They were following Gideon's example. And, you know, just think, if they'd gotten bored, they'd gotten distracted, that could have changed the outcome. But these men were faithful. And it shows, again, what a need there is for stability and consistency in what we're doing. There's a need for Christians who are dependable and faithful and being where God's put them and working, doing what God wants them to do where he's put them. Proverbs 27:8 says, "As a bird that wandereth from her nest so is a man that wandereth from his place. You know, we see a lot of times, you know, there are people, Christians, that wander. Now, I want to make it clear, there are times when God directs people to move, whether it's to move churches, to move ministries, God directs people to move. But Christians who are constantly, you know, church hopping or just moving from one area of ministry to another, you know, just because they're not comfortable or things don't go exactly the way they think they should when they're not trusting the Lord, or maybe they're not getting the notoriety they think they deserve. You know, that causes people a lot of times to miss out on a lot of blessings if you don't stick it out where God has put you. God's put you where you are for a reason. You need to be there until He moves you, until He says it's time to go somewhere else, if He ever does. Then maybe, you know, that God's put you there to serve forever. Maybe not, but we need to always seek His wisdom, His guidance there, and we need to be stable where God's put us. You know, God's given us a responsibility to be in the trenches. You know, I've heard some of the stories about World War I and, you know, just how horrible some of those battlefields were. And those men had to stay in these trenches and just willing to fight it out. We need to be like that, not giving ground. We need to make sure that we stay where God puts us. And, you know, He's caused us to, or called us to stand. And if we don't, we looked at that verse there in Proverbs. It's like a bird that would leave her nest of young chicks just to go out and wander. And how, you know, that's not safe for that bird to do that. And we need to make sure that we stay where God has put us, where God's called us. You know, even when the tasks in front of us don't seem that great, you know, if they seem like a small thing, but God wants us to be faithful wherever He has put us. Missionary Hudson Taylor once said, "A little thing is a little thing, but faithfulness in the little things is a great thing." And we need to make sure that whatever God's put in front of us, that we are faithful to Him. So here we see that now Gideon's given the example. The men are standing firm and they're trusting God's word. So these 300 men in Gideon's army, they believed in what God had told them to do. You know, as crazy as it would seem in our minds, they believed in it. And, you know, think about when they're up there, there was probably a lot of questions, you know, about going to battle with torches and pitchers. You know, you have to wonder, you know, we don't always understand. But that's when we have true faith, when we don't understand, but we're still willing to trust the Lord. I'm sure these men initially did not understand what was going to happen. But they were willing to trust the Lord anyway. And He ended up sending confusion into the camp, and so much that the Midianites started fighting each other. So, you know, when we trust God to do what He said He's going to do, you know, He's going to take care of it. He just wants us to be faithful. And that's what these men were. In verse 22, still in Judges 7, it says, "And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beth Shittah in Zererath, and to the border of Abelamaloah unto Tabith there." So, you know, this outcome was God's plan. You think about how this plan came to be. It was a plan that could only be accomplished by God. You know, this is why our courage that we derive from our faith is so important. You know, the outcome of this battle, if Gideon had come up with this, you know, on his own, it wouldn't have worked. It required God to be working in so many ways that was beyond what Gideon or these men were doing. And here we just need to be faithful in what God's called us to do, and we need to trust Him and trust His wisdom. So, but, you know, they needed more than wisdom throughout this. You know, it would have been nice if the story ended there, but things didn't quite go like that. They began to chase the Midianites, and we see when we go over to Judges chapter 8, we're going to see that these men are going to need more than wisdom. They're going to need a tenacity, a determination, and perseverance to keep going. It wasn't something that was going to be easy. It was going to, it wasn't like, oh, we've done enough, let's go home now. They had to keep going. And we see this when we go to Judges chapter 8, and we start in verse 1. It says, "And the men of Ephraim said unto him, Why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. And he said unto them, What have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered unto your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them." So, you know, very few meaningful things and lasting things are done quickly. So, you know, it usually takes a while to get things completely done. And to accomplish any task, we have to stay on it until we're finished. And Gideon knew that just chasing them off was not the answer. He had to chase them down. And, you know, sometimes when we think about this, this perseverance and going on, sometimes we're going to get criticized when we're doing it. And, you know, it's nice. It would be nice to think that whenever we do something for the Lord, that people are going to pat us on the back and say, good job. But sometimes we're going to face criticism even from those that are Christians. And, you know, in the real world, that's what happens a lot of times. You know, we need to make sure we're not living our life just to avoid criticism. We need to make sure that we're doing what God wants us to do, even when there is going to be criticism. Somebody once said, the way to avoid criticism is to do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. You know, our goal needs to be to please God and not please men. We need to, you know, don't let criticism from others stop us from serving the Lord. And, you know, he was doing something great for God, and the people of Ephraim, they even complained to him when they came in contact with him there. We saw in those verses, the people came to him and, you know, basically were criticizing, why didn't you let us go and attack them with you? You know, they wanted the glory too. But the fact is, they had already fought some of the Midianites that he had chased towards them and even taken some of their men. But they wanted more of the recognition from where Gideon had attacked. But how did Gideon respond to that? You know, he responded in humility. You know, he let them know, think about all, look what you've done. You know, he pointed out the great things that they had done by already capturing some of the Midianite kings. And, you know, he did that, and, apparently they were okay with that. And he didn't stop there. He realized he needed to go on what he was doing there. And we need to remember, you know, anytime we're going to do something for the Lord, God reminds us in so many ways. In 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You know, when we do what God wants us to do, you know, it's not always going to be received warmly. We're going to face obstacles. So Gideon continued on chasing these men because they were determined not to let them escape, because they knew if they let them escape, what was going to happen? They were going to come back. They needed to finish the job. They chased them across the River Jordan and out of the promised land entirely, and they kept going. And there's a little phrase at the end of the verses we just read there in Judges 8, verse 4. It says they were faint, yet pursuing. They got tired, they were weary, but they kept going. They could have made excuses. You know, they could have claimed, you know, we're tired, we can't go on anymore. They could have said, we've done our part, you know, let somebody else do this. But they realized that God had given them a job and they needed to finish it. They were at the end of their strength there. They had given all that they had at that point, but they kept pursuing. Even when they were going through some of the land of Israel, they asked for provisions from some of their people. Do you believe that the people denied them provisions while they were chasing them? Some of the people of Israel were still worried that the Midianites were going to come back, and if they helped them, that they were going to see retribution from the Midianites. So they were still scared to help Gideon. So even though they were going through their own land at some points, they still couldn't get, you know, even food while they were pursuing. But they kept going, and if we're going to have a courageous life like these men, you know, it's going to take endurance. You know, God gives us strength when we need it. And, you know, God gives us the strength we need to not faint by looking to Him. And, you know, listen, in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, these are some very good verses that we need to listen to carefully. It says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." There. Do you ever just feel tired? I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, faithfulness, stability, obedience, it can just make you physically tired, you know, emotionally tired. And God acknowledges that in verse 16 when it talks about, you know, our outward man, how weak it is. Our flesh is weak. But God wants us to focus on the things that we have impact over that are eternal, things that we can't see. Because when we do that, God's going to give us the strength, our inward man, our soul that's working to do things that are eternal, things that are in heaven. When we remember, you know, who we're serving and what our goal is here to help others to receive the gospel, you know, He's going to give us strength to do that. And that's where we're going to find our strength, is when we remember what, you know, what we're in this for, you know. It was through endurance that Gideon and his men ultimately won the victory. They were able to chase these men down and completely defeat them. So, you know, God helped them to get to that point. And there's going to be battles in our Christian life, you know, all the way up until we reach heaven. To fight and win those battles, we're going to have to have the courage that Gideon had. And this courageous faith, it overcomes fear, and is proven through obedience. We see that in Gideon's life, and it follows God with perseverance, and that is what should come out in our life, and is that what's showing in our lives. You know, some situations may seem impossible that we face. Gideon faced a situation that seemed impossible, but we need to remember Luke 1:37, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." And because of Gideon's faith, it wasn't because of his strength, it wasn't because of the strength of his men, they were able to have the courage because they trusted God. They saw the danger, but were still willing to step forward and to do what was right. And we need to remember that as an example in our lives. When things get hard, when we get tired, we just need to remember that God's going to be there with us, and He's going to help us through whatever He's called us to do. And that's where we can draw courage and faith. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for the opportunity to look at Your Word this morning. We thank You for the example of Gideon and his men, who, though they faced just unspeakable odds, Lord, they were still willing to trust You and, Lord, just give their lives completely to You. And Lord, I pray that we would have that same faith, that same tenacity in our lives as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.